Ours to Protect. Brought to you by Tip FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission Naman with the television license fee.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 3 of Ours to Protect. I'm Ellie, and today's episode focuses on biodiversity, covering everything from bats to bees. I'll be chatting to the students in Presentation Primary School Clonmel, Heritage Specialist Albert Nolan, and Joint Chairperson of the Cabra Wetlands, Michael Long. So let's begin by asking,
what is biodiversity?
Well, the simplest way to explain it to anybody is bio means life. So biodiversity is variety of life.
Located in Holy Cross, Tipperary, and home to multiple habitats and wildlife, is the largest single area of freshwater semi-natural floodplain habitats on the river shore. Joint Chairperson of Cabra Wetlands Visitor Centre, Michael Long, explains to us about the history of the site as well as the conservation work they carry out.
Well, I suppose we're over the years, Cabra Wetlands has been on the go for a long time. It really, its origins go back to the closure of the sugar factory, you know, and that time a few people, local people, got together and they tried to move to conserve what is a valuable wetland now. It was very good that they did at the time. So conservation has always been kind of a part of the mindset there. I'm going back to 1989 when I say that. And what's interesting about that is that the other suggestion for Cabra Wetlands at that stage was to have the town dump out there. They really did something quite valuable in conserving it. And over the years, then I wasn't around that time, but they've always got good information, so good reports done. And it really has run on three pillars over the years, and that is conservation, recreation, and education. So I think that has served the place well and continues to serve it well. Our view of wetlands now is entirely different to what it was back then. As I say, at that time they were going to put the town dump out there. Now we see them as actually very valuable. I think the statistics would say that globally we've drained about 65% of wetlands. In Ireland we've drained about 90%.
Yeah.
So what's left is actually quite valuable. And as time goes on, we're beginning to realise more and more what they contribute to the landscape, the work to do in the landscape. So I suppose wetlands in simple language would they're very rich in biodiversity, tropical biodiversity. They're a kind of a flood control mechanism where they're like a big sponge. They hold large quantity of water and just release it slowly back into the river system. They help to recycle water because of the kind of plants and stuff that grow there. And they do have to recycle water.
Yes.
And they're also a carbon sink. I suppose those kind of things weren't an issue back in the late 80s. They are now. So we're very aware of that, I suppose, you know. Yeah.
So what kind of plants and animals would you see in Cabra Wetlands?
Well, I suppose the biggest feature of the wetland in some ways is birds. Birdwatch Ireland would say about 2,000 birds overwinter at Cabra Wetland. That's their figures. And I suppose that's made up mostly of wintering birds like Wigeon and Teal Duck, flocks of lapwing, which is our national bird, and lapwing, flocks of lapwing and curlew. I think they would make up the main visitor population in the wintertime. But they do find safety there, and they do find, I suppose, food and shelter there, really. And the fact that the wetland has been conserved and has been kept, they can come and find a place to overwinter. So that would be the main feature, I think, really. Like, as well as that, like, it's primarily, you know, as I say, reed beds. But there are lots of other, of course, flowers and plants that grow there and a variety of insects that feed off those plants and all of that, of course, yeah.
And that is hugely important. Like you mentioned, the curlew there, they are an endangered bird now, aren't they?
Well, our native population is really on the red list. You see, there's what you might call a native population of curlew, but also migratory ones that come in for the winter. So when I mention curlew, it would be primarily the migratory ones that will come and spend the winter maybe between Cabra Wetlands and Littleton, flying over and back. But our native population is in serious trouble. This is primarily because we have, you know, I suppose we, not intentionally, but we would say their habitat really has been severely reduced and undermined. They like a nice muddy place. They have a long beak with a sensor on top of it to catch their what they like to eat, and they need soft muddy ground in order to feed, and we have less and less of that. If you want to have, it's like anything, look, any species, the more than ourselves, we need food and shelter.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those, you're going to be in trouble.
And I see you do school visits and educational centres as well.
We put a fairly, as I said, you know, conservation, recreation, education are the three pillars that has been built on over the years. we do put a big value on, I suppose, on awareness, really. If I could just put it to you like this, if you're over 50, you belong probably, but you belong to our, I'm well over 50, but we did a lot of damage in our time. And I suppose the simplest way to put it is that we had the ability to do stuff without the awareness of the consequences of our actions. And an example that we often give would be the corn crake, for example. We can give different examples. But when we joined the EEC back in the early 70s, in order to improve farming methods, for example, in order to improve incomes for farmers, there was a big push on to move from making hay to making silage. And that was done for the very best reason. But I suppose we didn't take into account the impact it was going to have on the breeding cycle of the corn crake. So we ended up cutting silage maybe at times when they were trying to nest and so on. So within a decade, the corn crake numbers crashed. We didn't set out to damage the corn crake. We set out to improve farming methods. And I think there's lots of examples like that, countless examples, really. But so that's why we put such an emphasis on environmental awareness. Because I think once you become aware of what could happen or what is happening, then you have a choice. You can decide, do I continue to do it or do I hold back? So we work with, even just this morning, we had a group of children in from a local school. And we're just talking about that, and they're very keen and very interested in the whole thing. But, I suppose a more simple example would be in our own homes. I mean, the most threatened habitat at the moment, talking about biodiversity, by a mile, would be fresh water. It's impacted hugely by us, by we humans, our lifestyle. We don't intend to do it. But, if we're at home putting detergent down our sink or down our toilets or whatever, and we want them to be nice and clean looking and so on, and that's a very noble thing to do. Of course it is. But that detergent is going to end up in the water table somewhere and probably an impact on the life of freshwater invertebrates somewhere. We don't set out to do that. But, that's where the awareness is key, the kind of products that we use, the kind of maybe detergents that we use and so on, and awareness of the possible consequences they might have for life down the line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. And if you were to give tips for anyone listening at home for what they can do in their own gardens to help the wildlife and biodiversity, would it be mostly to switch to like eco-friendly washing detergents or put water out for the birds, or what would be your advice?
My advice would be anything we do is a help.
Okay.
You're right. I mean, I think just to double check on the detergents you're using, you could use vinegar just as handy as, something that's stronger. But I think anything we do, even letting our lawns grow is a very good thing to do, because it's going to provide food for insects, and, flowering plants are providing food for insects, and the seeds going to seed are going to provide food for birds. So I think an awareness thing is, our mantra in Clabber Wetlands for a lot of the time is the earth works because it all works together. It has evolved over 4 billion years as an interdependent, interconnected community of life. And that's how it is. And nothing exists in isolation, including us. So anything we can do, if you like, to any little bit we do is a positive, is a help. And, and I would add to that, I think anything we can do to enhance our own awareness of our connection to the world around us, and that's a positive as well.
Biodiversity is nature, so bats and birds and insects, and we all have to try our best to look after them.
It's that you can learn about the environment and you can make sure the place is nice and clean for all the animals and make sure people are safe.
We were learning about bees, the honeybees and the bumblebees, and like the pollination.
And what did you learn?
About how many types of bees there are, what they do, and like the queen bee. The queen bee's job is to lay eggs. And in her lifetime, she could lay 1 million eggs, and the worker bees go out to the plants and pollinate them.
I learned something interesting about bees.
When the queen bee dies, they give the young bees something called royal jelly that makes them grow up to be queen bees. But if they don't have any young, then they all die. And when the young bees grow up to be queen bees, they all fight to see which one will be the queen bee.
We did some nature walks around the nun's garden, and our teacher told us all about different type of plants and stuff.
What type of plants did you see?
Roses and daffodils.
One day we went for a walk around the nun's garden, and we had boxes, and we found different things to make houses for animals in the boxes. And there were stuff like leaves and berries. We made them when we were on the walk and put them in different places. Some of the houses were for animals like hedgehogs and caterpillars.
More like in the autumn, the trees over on near the convent, they have like conkers and really pretty like leaves and stuff. So we usually like to do art with the fallen leaves or like the conkers that we find, because like it's like part of the nature, but we can still make like really pretty art out of it.
Another thing that could be nice for biodiversity is you could make bug hotels and animals could go and live in them, like spiders or bees, wood lice. A lot of bugs can go and live in the hotels.
We all know what a bat looks like, but what does a bat sound like? Bat walks are the perfect opportunity to observe them in their natural habitat, and Albert Nolan considers himself a bit of a bat expert.
Common soprano fitzgerald, brown long ears, lies and debates over the water, and then the rest of them can't really detect it. They're very hard.
Do you hear him there? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn the opposite.
Oh, brilliant. I see, you know where they are. They're over the water.
That one just flew around here a minute ago.
Yeah, if they come down here.
So far away are they when you pick them up?
Oh, now listen to this now. Yeah. Oh, listen, that's right around us now. Yeah. Yeah. And you see him as well, yeah. Hear that? There they are.
That's the...
So that's the bat language, and you, when you tune your ear in, you might notice that the calls get quicker, and that means that they're getting closer to their prey, and they need more information, so they send out more calls and more information back. And then you hear a buzz. There we go. Yeah, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's him. There he is.
Overhead! Yeah, overhead, yeah.
Despite
the mix, they don't fly into your hair. They have no interest of anything like that. But they are curious, so they will come down and investigate, but they're more interested now in feeding. And the females especially should be having their pups soon, or could already have them, depending on the weather's been really hot. And they will come out for an hour, then they'll go back and nurse. It's like having a human child. You're checking them every couple of hours and you're feeding them.
So have you ever been on a bat walk before?
I have, yes.
I have not. This is my first time. I really enjoyed it.
And had you ever seen a bat before tonight?
Yes. They're always in my brother's shoes.
Yeah, once we had a time where they were in the house and we had to try getting them out.
Did you see a lot of bats tonight?
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. I took a break from using the bat detector and started using a pair of binoculars, and I saw about 6 bats.
Wow, cool. And did you learn much about bats? Did you learn about new species that you didn't know before?
Yes. There was a bunch of new species that I never knew about.
Yeah, there was a lot. It was really cool.
What is the ecosystem?
I suppose ecosystems are, eco is our house, so it's that, it's kind of home of different species, isn't it? It's kind of eco, the home of different plants, animals, insects, and how they interact with each other.
And the Cabra Wetlands is a perfect place to provide a home for birds and insects.
Well, it's a home for, I suppose, for especially for any species that like a damp habitat.
Do you know what it means to be a global citizen?
Well, I suppose, sure. Was there an old saying back in the day, you know, act locally and think globally? We're all, I think, you know, I suppose I'd be much more, I think the only, the greatest place we can make a difference is in our own place, isn't it? And I think, you know, for young people too, and I think especially with social media and communications the way they are, we're all much more aware that we're global citizens. And we're more, you know, we are connected. I'll tell you a quick story we're talking about just today, is that there's a serious decline in the swift population.
Okay.
The swifts, they're in our country at the moment. They come over from Africa. But as the swifts, the population has declined, the mosquito infestation in parts of Africa has increased. Because they feed, swifts feed heavily on mosquitoes.
Yeah.
That's how closely connected and interdependent and connected our world is.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by TIP FM, the IBI, and funded by Commission Naman. with the television license fee.